Hi, everybody. Welcome to Pre-Service Chat. Great to have you with us today. I am so glad to have Jeremy and Leah Cron with us. You may recognize them. Some of you may not. This is the couple that Steve was referencing last week, just before he spoke, who are coming home from the mission field. Jeremy and Leah, welcome to Pre-Service Chat. We've done this before, and they're being very gracious, everybody. It's super early in the morning. I think they're two or three cups of coffee in already. And yeah, great to have you guys with us.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So Steve talked last week about this concept of you coming, do we call it home? Coming back to Victoria, which is where you started off 10 years ago. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so for the last 12 years, actually, we've been working in Africa with Africa Inland Mission. First in Tanzania in various roles. We lived in a tiny little village and ran a training team there. And then we moved to Uganda 2 years ago to become more administrative. And so right now our roles are working in Uganda and administrating six different countries. I'm the personnel director, so I help with all things personnel, and Jeremy does administration. So that's what we have been doing. And in July of this year, our return to Canada comes, yeah.
Wow. Now, that just sounds amazing to us that you're able to come back to Canada. I'm sure it's not quite as easy. Well, it's certainly not easy. It's certainly not simple. But it's got to be hard as well, emotionally, and just going through some of that.
Yeah, we really have a sense of leaving our home and our lives here behind.
Yeah. And we go through a lot of, is this the last time I'll, you know, enjoy these really nice mangoes or these avocados from the tree just outside here, things like that. But it's not just the wonderful environment, and Uganda is beautiful, but also the people here that we've really gotten to know, connect with, identify with in so many ways.
I think it's been great to be part of the AIM family and just working with people towards a common purpose of building Christ-centered churches among African peoples in Africa.
Relationships, it's tough to leave. You guys have given, you know, your heart and your soul there. So you mentioned July, going to be coming back. We've said that you'll be in this area sometime in August. Boy, there's got to be a lot of hurdles, both sort of finishing well where you are and just starting to figure out how do you travel across the world, basically.
Yeah, we have to figure out how to pack up our lives and put them in like eight boxes and
and what to leave behind.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that.
Yeah, we need to sell our car and wrap up our ministry here and do a handover, get over to Kenya to watch our son graduate. And then we get started moving back to Canada, but there's a whole host of hurdles on that side too. We have to find a house to live in. 12 years ago, we sold our house, and so we don't really have anywhere to go and nothing to put in it other than the eight boxes we're bringing back.
Right. You talk about the eight boxes, guys. When you said that, I flashed back to 10 years ago, and we kept seeing pictures, I think in airports and things, where you guys had all your bags and your kids were much smaller then.
Ryan to help us move one of the airport trolleys, and he couldn't see above the boxes. So Paul was like, left to right.
I stood beside Ryan the other day and he towers over me. Things have really changed for sure. You mentioned, some of the things I have been saying to people around here, we need a miracle. Whether Victoria is home, it must be. It's a strange concept for folks like yourself who've been away for 10 years, but you need a home. And this is where you're known and where we love you. And we're so happy and excited to have you coming back. But folks, you, those of you who are watching and praying types, we need a miracle for a place to live for the Caron family. And as those of you who are in Victoria, you know the challenge around that. But we're looking forward to seeing God answer. And I know Jeremy and Leah have a lot of trust and faith in that. And on that, Brad and Patricia Worsfold are helping, as you, Jeremy and Leah, you know, with some of those things that you need when you come home. So if you are interested in helping out, please reach out to the office at, through email, office@sanichbaptist.org. So as you're coming back, as you're thinking through this, what are some of the things that we can be praying for you? I just listed, you know, some of the detailed home stuff, but as you're finishing up, are there anything in specifics that we could be praying for this?
So we've been on the mission field for 12 years, and we both, you know, a lot of the things that we've done are transferable, but it's hard to figure out how to relate that on a resume. And Jeremy and I both need jobs. So you can be praying that we find good employment. That's a big one.
Yeah.
What about the kids? Yeah, I was just going to say, also, you can be praying for our kids. You know, for us, it is kind of a homecoming, but for them, it's not. You know, home is Africa. And so just really pray for their adjustment. Marie was 3 when we left, and Paul was 6. So they have grown up here, and they have friends, and they love it here. And having watched Ryan transition back, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard. So we pray for them for good friends and schooling opportunities and all the things, like just that God would really meet them where they need to be met over the coming years.
Over the last number of years, as we've been able to come back to Victoria
for visits,
it's been almost as a tourist, and you really don't understand all the things that have changed when you're just there for just brief glimpses into people's lives. So it's going to be a big change for us as well.
I can only imagine, honestly. So folks, you heard some of the things they need prayer for, things that we all in some ways need prayer for, but we're not coming halfway across the world for it. Place to stay, jobs, schooling, but also just good community connections as they arrive back home, as they discover, you know, Victoria, and we think it's beautiful, but we don't have mangoes and avocados growing right outside our door. Thanks for that, Jeremy.
We're really gonna miss living on the equator.
Oh my goodness, I can imagine. Is there anything that we've missed? Anything you'd like to add?
Also, I think a really important thing for us going forward is that we can continue, like this isn't the end of our ministry. We really want to see ministry continue to happen in our lives, and we want to be a part of building God's kingdom wherever we are. Mm-hmm. And so just pray for good opportunities and good being able to engage in that in a way that culturally makes sense. You know, you come to a new place, then you have to do some readjustment, and thankfully we already know the language, but we really want to still remain a part of building God's kingdom. And
when you asked that question, the first thing that came to my mind was Paul's running the race analogy. And we're finishing up, we're wrapping up on this side, but what's next? What's the next part of this marathon that we're running?
I gotta say, we are excited to be thinking of you coming back and joining us on that, because you have learned a lot. You've been wanting to build God's kingdom wherever you are. So I don't think that's going to be a challenge, or it might be a challenge, but it's not going to be something you forget to be about. And so we're excited about joining with you on that. Jeremy and Leah, thanks for getting up early and joining us. SBC, let's be in prayer. Let's see how God is going to work. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Take care. Thank you. Hi, everybody. Welcome to announcements. Kim, it's great to have you again joining me.
Thank you. Yes, I have some announcements for everybody.
Let's hear.
Okay. Number one.
Yes.
Is naming.
How about nominating?
Okay. Number two, though, is accent may.
Or accountant.
Okay. Yeah. May. Okay. Uh-huh. Contract.
Nice.
Okay. Okay. Secretary.
Whoa, you nailed it this time.
Nice. And actually, your writing is getting better as you go.
It
but
is.
I'm just going to let you take this.
All right, cool.
I'll take this and tell us, what are the announcements?
Stay in our lane a little bit, do what we do best.
Yeah.
All right, okay, cool. So yeah, we this time of year, every year, we offer to you the opportunity to nominate people for our servant leadership team.
Nice.
End of June, we have our general meeting where we vote in the leaders for our church. If you're interested in hearing more about that or maybe even nominating someone for that, we have hard copies of the nominating package at both campuses that you can pick up after the service, or you can go online to our resources tab to hear and read more about that. So that's nominating.
Awesome. Nominating committees. What's the second one?
The second one is, again, if you hit our website and go to a tab called Join Our Team, we've got a couple opportunities. First of all, we mentioned last week we have our secretary job, and we would love to have you check that out. Maybe that's something for you, or maybe someone you know. But we also have another opportunity, and that was the accountant. At the end of May, we have an opening starting up June 1st for an accountant by contract. Again, if you know of someone or maybe you are interested in that, hit Join Our Team on the website and you can discover more about that.
Nice. That is definitely not a job for Kim. Kim is not good with numbers.
Okay.
Thirdly, though, what's the last announcement, Lindsay?
Yeah, so community fund. You and I were talking about that. This is a cool deal. Like, we want to be able to bless people and help people up. And we have lots of people who are generous. And this is a fund that helps people in our community where life has kind of hit the fan a little bit. Things have just kind of gone sideways and just need some financial help.
Yeah.
And so we've had a number of requests recently, which is good because we want to be able to bless. It's been hard for the people, but we've got a couple more and we're running a little low on funds.
Yeah.
And so whenever that happens, we just like to give a shout out. If you want to donate to the community fund, just on your giving, just highlight there under the subject community fund.
Nice. Well, lots of opportunities. Yeah. Like always, if you need more information, go check out our website. Everything's on there. Sweet. Well, I'm glad you could read your handwriting.
Sometimes.
Have a good week, everyone. Awesome. Well, welcome. We're so glad that you've joined us today. Whether you're here, sitting in a seat, which it apparently looks like this side of the room is a lot more popular than this side, but we can change that. It's okay. It's okay. Whether you're tuning in online, which side of the couch are you sitting on, maybe? Maybe one side is just more popular. Is it a left-handed, right-handed thing? Who knows? But we're glad that you're here. We're glad and excited to be able to worship together on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen people. And if you are in the room, I'd love to invite you to stand if you're able. And I'm going to start off by reading this call to worship inspired by Psalm 32. And it says this: Oh, what joy for those whose sins are forgiven, whose mistakes have been wiped away by God's mercy and grace. Come, let's rejoice in God's unfailing love. Rejoice and be glad, for we have been made right. Sing out your praise and thanksgiving, for he is good. He is indeed. So let's start off by singing that same truth. You are good. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare your living home, your presence. Oh, I've tasted, and I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fly couple weeks ago, we introduced a song, Prayer to the King. And just got a lot of feedback from people saying that they really appreciated it, really gelled with the words, that it was encouraging. So we thought we would do it again this morning. So if it is a little new to you still, that's fine. Just listen to the words and maybe read along with them as a prayer. But otherwise, let's sing this together as our prayer to the King. Let the word of Christ, my Savior, dwell in me today. May his goodness be reflected in all I do and say. Let the wisdom of my Father be the light upon my way. May his Spirit always guide me. I am willing to obey. Let the love of Jesus fill me like water fills the sea. Let my whole life be a mirror of the mercy shown to me. Let the peace of God, my Father, rule in everything, that I might learn to trust him, enjoy your sorrowing. My Jesus and run the race to win. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek to win the lost. May I be a faithful servant to the message of the cross. Now God, this is our prayer. Prayer that we would run this race that you have set before us, but not in our own strength, not by doing all of the things and checking all the boxes, God, not by being perfect people even, but God, through the power of your Holy Spirit at work within us, transforming our hearts and our minds more and more to look like you, to act like you, to reach out to people in your love. God, all of this is only done by the power of your Spirit. We can do our best, for sure, but without your Spirit in us living and working and moving and transforming, it doesn't come to much. So God, would you take our offering that we bring here today, this offering of praise, and would you use it to bring glory to your name, glory to your kingdom. Now this is our prayer. We love you, we worship you, and we honor you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. You may have a seat.
Kids, it has been so nice to see you all today, and I would love to hang out with you more, but you guys are going to continue with everything that you have for today upstairs with Shyla. So, yeah, if you're a kid, you can head to the back. Oh my goodness, and half of us cleared out. That's awesome. Okay, well, it is nice to be with you guys this morning. I feel like this was my home for so long, and it's just so nice to be back here and see all your lovely faces, especially without masks. It's so nice. And I just want to lead us through our scripture reading this morning and a corporate prayer. So our scripture today is from Acts chapter 2. So let me read. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had a bit too much wine." I want to pray with you, and I invite you to join me in this prayer. And you can follow along in the slides and join me when it prompts you. So let's pray. God of wind and flame, blow into our lives. Ignite the fire of hope. Fan the flames of possibility. Transform us into a people who share your love with a world in pain. A people who proclaim your hope into a world given to despair. A people who live as though the world can be changed into the kingdom that is to come. God, your spirit fell like tongues of fire. It filled those that were empty. It empowered those that were weary. God, your spirit fell like tongues of fire. It brought together those that were divided. It reassured those who were afraid. God, your spirit fell like tongues of fire. By its power, we can walk together as one. By its power, we can find strength to share. God, your spirit fell like tongues of fire. By its power, we can find freedom in loving each other. By its power, we can find life in you. Holy One, for all of the ways you speak to us, in rushing wind, in dancing flames, in words we understand, and in all of that transcends language, we give thanks. Give us courage to speak your love everywhere we go and to everyone we meet. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Whether you're watching online or here at WRC in person, I just want to extend a welcome to you. And I noticed a number of faces I haven't recognized before. It's always good to see some coming back and being here in person. And again, I want to say you have no idea how nice it is to be speaking to people instead of an empty room. So thank you for being here. And if you are new, Christina, who just read scripture and prayed for us, she's going to be in the back of the auditorium after the service. If you're new, just drop by and say hi to her for a few minutes. She'd love to meet you and answer any questions you have about our church. Well, we're in a series called Do It Again. And what we're really looking at is the whole idea of, God, we want you to do it again. We see what you've done in the book of Acts and in the Bible. We see what you've done in the early church and down through church history. And God, we want you to do it again. We want you to bring revival. And if you were here a couple of weeks ago, you know I spoke on prayer and just the necessity of prayer in seeing a great move of God. And in that sermon, I talked about a gap. That there's a clear gap, we all know it, between what happens in heaven and what happens on earth. There's a gap. And I asked in that sermon, don't you want to see that gap close? Don't you want to see heaven invade earth? Don't you want to see the book of Acts happen again? I think we want that. I think most people want to see heaven invade earth. They want to see what's going on up there come down here. We want it, but often, instead of crying out God for it, we make excuses. In fact, the church has been great at creating doctrines to justify our lack of power, our weakness, and our deadness. For instance, one of the doctrines that the church has created is the idea that all miracles ended with the death of the apostles. But listen. People, especially the younger generation, are sick and tired of dead religion and empty traditions. They are leaving the church in groves. Why? Because they want reality. They want to see God work. They want to see churches on fire with the reality of Christ's manifest presence. Churches where the Spirit is active. Churches where the Spirit's love, grace, and power are being poured out. And I don't think it's just the younger generations that want that. I think every generation wants that. What if a church stood up and said, don't believe us unless we're doing what Jesus told us to do. Don't believe us. Don't believe what we say unless we're caring for the poor, loving our neighbors as ourselves, healing the sick, loving our enemies, seeing the miraculous in our midst, forgiving those who've hurt us. What if a church stood up and said, don't believe anything we say unless you see that stuff? After all, Jesus said in John 14, 12, these amazing words. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. That's incredible. We're going to come back to that verse in a few minutes. Just let that verse sit in your soul for a few minutes. Those are amazing words. And before Jesus ascended into heaven, he left his disciples with this incredible promise. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus promised that if they waited in Jerusalem, they being the early disciples, would receive power when the Holy Spirit came on them. And the Greek word, the New Testament was originally written in Greek, the Greek word for power is dunamis, from which we get our English word dynamite. Before Jesus ascended, he said something astonishing to his disciples. You will receive dynamite-like power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive dynamite-like power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, why were they going to receive this dynamite-like power? Again, let's look at Acts 1:8. It tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus told his disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive dynamite-like power so you can be my witnesses. And look what happened, Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Pentecost was one of the great festivals of the Jewish year. And Jerusalem would have been absolutely packed with people from all over the ancient world, Jewish people from all over the ancient world, coming to celebrate Pentecost. Meanwhile, 120 followers of Jesus were crammed into a room waiting and praying. When suddenly, verse 2, look what happened. Suddenly there is a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Wind in the Old Testament was a symbol of the Spirit. And here in Acts 2, a wind-like sound filled the house, just like God's presence used to fill the temple in the Old Testament. And then it says in verse 3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. In the Old Testament, fire denoted God's divine presence. So here in Acts 2, we see God's Spirit and presence filling the room. And then, if that wasn't crazy enough, the fire separated. Look at verses 3 and 4. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Something that looked like a mass of flames appeared, and then it broke up. And what seemed to be a single tongue of fire settled on each person. Earlier, John the Baptist has said, someone is going to come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And now that time had come. God was pouring out his Spirit on those Christ followers, and they were being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, can you imagine being there? You're crammed into this room with 120 other Christ followers. You're praying, and suddenly there's a sound like a wind, and there's fire, and the fire breaks up. This is crazy stuff. And it didn't stop there. Then they began to speak in foreign languages. Verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Those now filled Christ followers began speaking in languages they had not learned. Now remember, Jerusalem was packed with Jewish men and women from all over the world. And some of them gathered to see what was going on. And they were absolutely bewildered because they heard their own languages being spoken by these disciples. And it says in verse 12 that some of them were amazed and perplexed. And they asked one another, what does this mean? They had no idea what was going on. And others in the group mocked. Have you ever noticed there's always got to be the mockers, right? They mocked. Verse 13. Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. And then Peter responded in verse 15, fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Peter's saying, drunk? Not a chance. It's only 9 in the morning. And on feast days, you didn't break your fast until 10 a.m. So they weren't drunk. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. The power of God was on them. And that's why they were speaking in languages they did not know. And then Peter, I love this, he started to preach. Now, if you know anything about Peter's story in the Bible, this is trembling Peter, who just a few weeks before had denied any association with Jesus when questioned by others. And he stands up and he boldly preaches before this crowd. And let me just remind you of a few of the words he said. He said, not only did he say they're not drunk, it's 9 in the morning. He said, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet of Joel. We looked at this last week. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What on earth happened to Peter? What happened was Peter had been filled with the Spirit. Heaven had come down and invaded Peter. And that enabled him to talk boldly about Jesus, where just a few weeks ago he had denied Jesus. And after he talked boldly about Jesus, 3,000 people decided to follow Jesus that day. And listen, it didn't stop in Acts 2. As you read through the rest of the book of Acts, you read that as those early Christ followers went out filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke boldly about Jesus and fearlessly about him. They were strong and courageous. They radically accepted and loved people who were very, very different than them. They gave sacrificially. It says people sold their belongings to help others with need. They cast out demons. They healed the sick. They set the captives free. When the Holy Spirit filled those early Christ followers, they gave powerful witness to Jesus and his kingdom. And that witness turned the world upside down. Don't you want to be part of an experience like that? Don't you want, in your one and only life here on the earth, to experience something like that? where you're part of a move of God that turns a city and beyond upside down? Here's the good news. The same Christ follower, the same Holy Spirit, that filled and empowered those Christ followers wants to fill and empower us today. So that we too can have dynamite-like power, so we too can go out and be powerful witnesses for Jesus. How can we experience the filling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit today? How can we experience Acts 1:8 today? How can we be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we can say and do things that give powerful witness to Jesus and his kingdom? Well, let me answer those questions by first recognizing that in our tradition, as Baptists, other traditions have different views of this, but in our tradition as Baptists, there's a difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, those Christ followers were not only baptized with the Spirit, they were also filled with the Spirit. It was a unique event. Since then, we believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit have been two unique events. And if you look at the New Testament, you'll see that we're not told to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. The fact is, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's an act of God. When you turn to Jesus, when you decide to follow Jesus, it says in the Bible that God places His Spirit in your life. Acts 2:38 says this: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children." When you place your trust in Jesus, at that moment, the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells within you, meaning you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's an act of God. And yes, there's mystery there. So if the baptism of the Spirit occurs when we place our trust in Jesus, what word describes the Spirit's activity in our lives after our conversion? For that, the New Testament most often uses the word filled. And when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, we're talking about experiencing the infilling of the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're talking about the Holy Spirit filling and empowering us as Christ followers to do and say things we wouldn't normally say and do. Things like speaking furiously, like Peter did, about Jesus. Things like radically accepting and loving people who are very different than us, like loving our enemies, for instance. We're talking about things like unconditionally loving others. Having an unexpected insight all of a sudden when you're talking to someone. We're talking about, for some people, praying and seeing this sick healed. And for others, to pray and have demons cast out. We're talking about courageously living 6-8. We're talking about giving sacrificially to those in need. When the Holy Spirit fills us and empowers us, we can do great works. Actually, it's not us doing the great works. It's the Holy Spirit working through us to do the great works. Again, let me take you back to John 14:12. Here is Jesus. This is what Jesus is saying. "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." When you read the Gospels, you marvel at the works that Jesus did. And the thought that we could do those works or even greater, I don't know about for you, that to me is mind-blowing. And that's why This verse often gets explained away by saying it refers to the quantity of works, not the quality of works. And if you think about it, millions and millions of Christ followers should be able to surpass the number of works that Jesus did. And so you could say, well, if it's quantity, yeah, sure. But here's the problem. The word greater, it's here somewhere, right there. The word greater, I'll find it. I just got to read it. The word greater there in the Greek, is found 45 times in the New Testament. It always is used to describe quality, not quantity. Okay, does that blow your mind? Jesus is saying that as a Christ follower, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to do greater works than he did. Now, doesn't that kind of like, isn't that just in your brain, there's a little fuse that just went click, right? I mean, what? But let me remind you of Romans 8:11, where Paul says this. Listen to this. This is really, really good stuff. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. If you're a Christ follower, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And he desires to fill you and empower you and flow through you so you can do and say amazing things. He wants to empower you to do the works that Jesus did. The question is, how can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? There was a missionary from China, and she was in China many years ago during the Shandong Revival. Her name was Miss Bertha Smith. And in her later years, she would wander the halls of Southwestern Baptist Seminary in Texas, and she would greet students and ask them the single question, are you full of the Spirit today? Not a good question. Are you full of the Spirit today? Let me ask you this morning, would you like to be full of the Spirit today? Here's the deal. No one has ever been filled with the Holy Spirit who did not want to be filled. No one has ever been filled with the Holy Spirit who did not want to be filled. On the other hand, Luke 11:13 says this, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice Paul doesn't say fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. He says be filled. The Spirit is the one who fills us. But we do have a role to play. Do you notice it? He says, don't get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. When you're drunk, you're under the influence of alcohol. And you've surrendered your body, your mind, your actions, and your emotions to its influence. And that causes you to say things you wouldn't normally say. Causes you to do things you normally wouldn't do, like act like an idiot. Causes you to feel things you might not normally feel. And Paul says to us, don't get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, Paul is saying to us, surrender yourself to the Spirit's filling. Let the Spirit influence you and empower you to say things you normally wouldn't say, to do things you normally wouldn't do, to feel things you might normally not feel. And here's something really important to grasp about this verse. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a continuous process. Be filled is in the present tense. Paul is saying here, keep on being filled. We need ongoing, fresh fillings of the Holy Spirit's empowering presence. It's a continuous process because as the Spirit empowers us, we go out and we say and do things that the Spirit wants us to say and do. And as we do that, then we need to be refilled so the next day we can go out and do and say things the Spirit wants us to do and say. We need to be continually filled with the Spirit. That's why daily we need to surrender ourselves to the Spirit's filling. Daily we need to ask God to let the Spirit fill us so we can live the Spirit-empowered lives, so we can have that dynamite power, so we can be powerful witnesses for Christ and His kingdom. Now, if you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, here are some things you can do. Number one, surrender. As I was just talking about, Paul says it, a precursor to being filled with the Holy Spirit is surrender. It's the essential posture. After you've come to Christ and you've said, Christ, I want to follow you, the next key thing to do if you want to be filled with the Spirit is to surrender. Jesus is looking for surrendered hearts that He can pour His Spirit into. Surrender. Secondly, ask. All you really need to do is, from a position of a surrendered heart, is pray, come Holy Spirit, fill me. Now, here's a third thing you may consider. You may consider having someone lay hands on you. And Acts 8:17 says this, and Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. In Acts 9:17, Ananias lays hands on Paul so he might be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19:6, Paul lays hands on some people and the Holy Spirit came on them. And it's something that's been practiced down through church history. People lay hands on other people and ask the Holy Spirit to fill that person. And so maybe you want to ask someone to pray for you to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. And I know some of you, depending on your backgrounds, are getting freaked out right now. Remember those three circles, right? If you weren't here, I talked about three circles. You don't go to the crazy edge. You just put your hand on someone and ask God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about it this week, and a word came to my mind, and I don't know if this is a word from God or just a word that I dreamt up, but as I meet people who God is really using in a powerful way today, if you know me, you know I read a ton. As I read back through church history, and I tend to see a pattern around this, and it goes like this. When someone comes to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell in them. They're baptized with the Spirit. Then there's a moment in their lives, somewhere along the road, where the Spirit is, and this is the word that came to my mind, is activated within them, is poured out within them, is filled for a first time, if you will, within them. And after that happens, and after the Spirit, person experiences this filling, this pouring out of the Spirit within them, and sees how the Spirit empowers them to live, they want to continually, daily surrender to that filling. And I've seen that pattern over and over and over again, that someone's baptized when they come to Christ with the Spirit, but there's a moment where the Spirit is activated in them, where suddenly they feel for the first time like they're filled with the Spirit, or the Spirit's been poured out on them. And after that, they want to continually be filled with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit filled those early Christ followers, causing them to do and say things and to a point where they gave a powerful witness to Jesus and His kingdom, and that witness turned the world upside down. And frankly, we're here today because of that. And I'm praying that God would fill us with his dynamite power so that we can do and say things that will be a powerful witness for Jesus and his kingdom. A witness that will be a spark, that will set a fire, that will turn this city upside down. And so here's how we're going to close this morning. I'm going to pray for us to be filled with the Spirit. And if you want to, I was thinking, what's a good posture to do this in? But as I pray this morning, and we pray, and I pray, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, I'm just going to ask you to have a posture of surrender before God. Just put your hands out like that on your lap, wherever you want. Just put your hands out if you want to do that. So I'm going to pray. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, here's the posture for us. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you and ask that you would pour out your Spirit on us. Release the flow of your Spirit into this church and into our lives. Father, we surrender to you, to your love and to your Holy Spirit. We want more of you. We believe we haven't seen anything yet. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you and all you have for us. Father, we open ourselves up to your Spirit's empowering presence. Father, we want to be like the Christ followers in the book of Acts. We want heaven to come down and invade our lives. We want the Holy Spirit to fill us. We want the power of God alive in us, so that we can experience greater and greater amounts of your love and grace, so we can do what you want us to do, so we can walk humbly, love mercy, and act justly, so we can be a powerful witness for Christ and his kingdom in this city and beyond. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Fill us, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Kim and her team is going to come, and they're going to lead us in a final song, and I'm going to just, you don't mind if I do something like just call a play in the middle here? Good. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to stand. I want us to sing that song we sung earlier as we close. The Holy Spirit presence one. I don't know. What's the title of it? I don't know what the title is.
I believe
is.
It's called what's Holy that? Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Yeah. There we go.
It's a fitting title.
I want us to stand, and I think that's a great way to close today. So let's stand and sing that. All right, let's sing together.
Got to flip around in my book a little bit. Maybe let's just start with that chorus, actually. Welcome here. you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do. It changes us, it changes what we see and what we seek. When you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we seek. 'Cause when you speak and when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we see.
Speed it up.
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice. You're hanging on every word.
Thank you so much for joining with us today in proclaiming those truths. And we don't want this just to be a moment, an emotional experience. We know that this is true, this is real, that this continues, these truths continue as we leave this place. And so if you just need to take a moment and sit with this, if you want to turn to the person next to you and just pray together, we invite you to do that. We're also going to have a team of people up here who would love to pray with you. So if you have a need, if you just want to join with someone else in prayer, we invite you to come up. If you are new with us, or maybe you are returning after a while and you would like to get connected, there's a couple ways you can do that. If you're watching online, you can fill out one of our online Connect cards. If you're in person, there is a Connect card in the seat in front of you that you can fill out and drop in an offering plate that's in the back. And I'll also be at the back. So if you're new and want to come say hello, I'd love to meet you. Let me close by reading this benediction. God of grace and gift, we thank you and praise you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, enlighten our thinking. Strengthen our will. Guide us and give us courage that we may serve God our Father by living faithfully where we are through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Have a wonderful week.